And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. It's 4 minutes past nine on this Wednesday, the 20th of November 2024. How are you all keeping out there? I do hope you're very well indeed, and you're safe and sound out on the roads. They are dodgy in places, as we were speaking to Lee. The thing is with our local knowledge, we kind of know, don't we, where the worst parts are going to be, and they are delivering today in most areas, it would seem. But be careful if you're out there, because as I said to Lee as well, the change in conditions is really quite rapid, dependent on where you go. But anyway, we're here to keep you company. We're here to keep you informed and entertained, hopefully over the next 3 hours and throughout the day here on Highland Radio. And we want you involved in the conversation throughout. It's 0860 25000. That's the WhatsApp and text number. Or give us a call on 07491 25000. Or if you prefer to email, it's comments@highlandradio.com. Okay. Loads to come as we look at the papers, of course. But first, let's have a quick look at this poll that came out from TG Cahir last night. We're going to be breaking this down a little later on. But the opinions that I'm most interested in are yours. So I'd like to hear what you have to say. TG Cahir polled 534 people. They actually engaged a third party to do this for them. 534 across a county the size of Donegal. It's a decent amount, but it does leave a margin of error of plus or minus 4%. Now, that doesn't often mean that it's four out in a plus way with one and in a minus way with another, if the truth be told. Some might hope it's not the case, but anyway, just to run through some of the results for you. If you look at the poll, the raw data, and it is only an opinion poll, Sinn Féin look incredibly likely to get two seats. Fianna Fáil could get two as well. I'll go through the percentages, but Pat the Cope Gallagher, whose posters are all over this area, so they mustn't have broken up the constituency. Pat the Cope Gallagher is polling well. Charlie McConnellogue's vote is holding up. He's done very well, apparently, according to TG Cahir and the poll. He's done very well in his own patch of Inishowen, so if he's transfer friendly, Charlie McConnellogue looks like he'll be taking a seat there as well, or retaining his seat. Fine Gael are going to struggle to retain a seat. Their vote has gone down significantly between the two elections. They got 13.7% first preferences in 2020. According to this poll, now it's down to 12, and it's split 6-6. So they would certainly struggle, you'd imagine. Thomas Pringle did really quite well in the TG Cahir poll. He has 11% first preferences. That's compared to actually 7.1% of first preference votes for 4 years ago. So he'll be buoyed by that, you'd imagine. In terms of 100% redress, their candidate, of course, is Charles Ward. And he's polling just 6%, which is equal to John McNulty and Nicky Bradley of Fine Gael. Both of those are on 6%. Mary T. Sweeney of Aintu, they're at 4%. Oh, she's at 4%. She got 3.1% of first preference votes 4 years ago, so that is an improvement. Niall McConnell, independent, stroke non-party, he's at 2%, and he polled much lower than that in first preferences in the last election. But as I say, as it stands, if you just read the raw data, and it doesn't always work like that, it would look like Sinn Féin with two, Fianna Fáil with two, and Thomas Pringle potentially in the fifth. It's not a done deal, but that's the way it would be looking at the poll potentially. So let's have a quick look at Piers Doherty, 22% of first preferences. He actually polled 27.2% of first preferences in the actual election. Pat the Cope Gallagher of Fianna Fáil at 13% in the opinion poll. That's up from 9.6% of actual first preferences he got last time out. Charlie McConnellogue, he has he's sitting at 12%. That's an increase from the 10.8% of actual first preference votes he got in the actual election. Interestingly, Padraig McLaughlin just at 11%. He was close on 18% of first preferences in the last election. I mentioned Thomas Pringle. Charles Ward, 100% redress party at 6%. So I don't know. We don't know where these votes are coming from, but it is interesting to note. Is it interesting to note that the 6% for Charles Ward is pretty much exactly the gap between Padraig McLaughlin's performance in this opinion poll versus his actual first preferences in the last election? Charlie McConnellogue, his vote is unaffected by that. So there was some concern that 100% Redress Party running a candidate, and this is not a blame game, we're just having a bit of analysis here, where have those 6% of votes come from? Obviously, regular people who don't necessarily even vote, or has that chewed into Padraig McLaughlin's base in Shone, remains to be seen. John McNulty and Nikki Bradley also on 6%, as I mentioned. Mary T. Sweeney, a vain to at 4%. Noel Jordan will play a pivotal role in getting Padraig McLaughlin across the line. He's at 2% in the south of the county. Well, across the whole county, he's based in the south of the county. Niall McConnell and the Greens through Nuala Carr on 2%. Carol Gallagher, PBP, 1%. Amy McGee, Irish Freedom Party, 1%. Kim McMenamin of the Irish People. Frank O'Donnell of non-party, Jerry McKeever non-party, and Claudia Kennedy of Fianna Fáil, they didn't register or registered less than 0.5% at this point. So we'll have a look through those a little later on, but very interested to get your views. 08660 25,000. You know, it's not necessarily what you might want. Also interested in your analysis and what you think as well. Speaking of elections, and I'm sorry, I'll get to the papers in a moment. We are very close to finalising our three panels for our election debates. They're all taking place next week in the mouth of an election. And I think really, you know, their importance hots up a little bit when you look at the results of that opinion poll, because these debates do make a difference. On Monday, we have Fine Gael's John McNulty, Pat the Cope Gallagher of Fianna Fáil, Mary T. Sweeney of Aintu, Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty, Jerry McKeever independent, Arthur Desmond McGuinness independent, and Frank O'Donnell independent. On Tuesday, still awaiting confirmation as to whether or not Nikki Bradley of Fine Gael will attend, but confirmed to attend, Charlie McConnellogue of Fianna Fáil, Niall McConnell of Independent. He hasn't gotten back to us. He didn't involve himself the last time out, probably won't this time, but the invitation is extended. Padraig McLaughlin will be here. Charles Ward of 100% Redress will be here, as will Vincent J. Bradley. So it's going to be interesting. That's an interesting one on Tuesday, because we have Padraig McLaughlin, Charles Ward, Charlie McConlogue, and some other great contributors in that panel on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, Claudia Kennedy of Fianna Fáil will be in studio, as will Thomas Pringle and Nuala Carr of the Green Party. Noel Jordan of Sinn Féin is attending now, which is very good news, because we want everyone who's invited to attend. And Kim McMenamin of the Irish People National Alliance will be here as well. So that's next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The debates run from 10 till 12. It's going to be 10, isn't it, because of the obituary notices in the news. But you'll be able to listen, of course, on the radio. That's what we do, a radio station. But you'll also be able to watch on the usual channels, just as many of you are watching right now. All right, OK, sorry. I just wanted to get through that election stuff because I wanted to poll your views. Brendan Byrne, who knows a thing or two about politics, will be joining me shortly to give his reaction to that opinion poll. And I do note that he noted that the TG Cahir poll was really quite accurate the last time out, bar overestimating Joe McHugh's vote. Other than that, it was really quite close, so we'll see. And we're also keeping a strong eye on, and I think we're going to have to wait till next Wednesday or Thursday for the Tyrconnell Tribune poll. I presume they're publishing that first in their own newspaper. I'm not being told anything otherwise. Right, lead story in the Finn Valley Voice. Mark your calendars for Sunday, December 8th, as Jackson's Hotel Ballybuffet hosts the Twin Towns Concern Bazaar. This year event, it starts at 3 p.m. This year's event is especially significant as it marks the 40th anniversary of our community's commitment to support those in need through Concern Worldwide, said Anne Glancy on behalf of the group. Very active group of Concern in that area, no doubt. On to the Nationals, the Irish Independent. Fianna Fáil is facing a backlash from some of its own candidates over the government's approach to immigration. In comments that are likely to move the issue to centre stage in the election, the representatives have pushed back against the development of migrant accommodation in their constituencies. Now, remarkably, in the leaders' debate, this was an aside when it clearly is a big issue for many people in many areas. Longford West Meath candidate Dimfna Kniff has weighed in behind people campaigning against a centre earmarked for 1,000 asylum seekers in Athlone. Would you want your children walking to school adjacent to the coming and goings of 1,000 asylum seekers awaiting the background checks from countries dubbed high risk as per government documents? That's what Ms. Kniff posted on social media after being contacted by the Irish Independent. She denied personally writing the post. Well, Listen. That ain't going to fly. That's back to the old days. It wasn't me. I was hacked. You know what I mean? It's your social media. You're responsible for what goes up on it. The Irish Times, Sinn Féin has denied claims that it's planning a 16 billion euro piggy bank heist as Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil rounded on the party's tax and spending plans. With just over a week and a half left until polling day, Sinn Féin unveiled its general election manifesto yesterday with promises to spend an extra 56 billion inside of additional 41.8 billion capital spend and an additional 14.3 billion in current spending over the next 5 years. This includes plans for a multi-billion euro mini budget in the first 100 days of government and a tax package which would see the eventual abolition of the universal social charge on incomes up to 45 grand. The party has also pledged to abolish property tax, which brings in about 500 million a year and represents about 7% of local government revenue, which is important. We need to know what's there as an alternative. People might not like the property tax, but it is used by councils, not least County Donegal, for matched funding. So, you know, for major projects that there is government funding for, but the local authority has to come up with some funds to sort of match fund that. That's what a lot of that's used. So if you take that away, what is going to replace it? Inside the Irish Daily Mail, and it's interesting because chilling is a word that's often attributed to Sinn Féin for some reason, and no other parties or individuals. I just find it quite amusing the way some words seem to stick to some parties and not others. A Sinn Féin manifesto pledge to commission a review into RTE's objectivity has been branded chilling by the Taoiseach. Simon Harris said the proposed examination into RTE's reporting on the Israel genocide in Gaza and other international conflicts is extremely concerning. Now, this, very interested in what your views are in relation to this. And this is not RTE bashing, but the reality is that RTE is the national broadcaster. You watch the you watch it. Are you content with the way they cover, say, for instance, and this is not part of Sinn Féin's comments, as far as I'm aware, the Ukraine Russia situation? Are you do you feel that you're getting balanced, nuanced reports, balanced as much as it can be balanced when you've got one big oppressor against Ukraine, or indeed as it relates to the situation in the Middle East? Do you feel that you're getting, you know, a news service that you feel is fair and balanced in relation to that? The general election here in Ireland, do you feel that it's fair and balanced, the coverage? Do you believe the way various politicians are questioned or scrutinised, do you think it's fair? Do you think it's fair across the board? The US elections, do you feel that they were covered in a fair and balanced way? I presume that's what they're talking about here. The Taoiseach believes such an analysis of their coverage would be chilling. I don't know what you guys think. But the National Union of Journalism described the proposal as inappropriate and said it would raise the question of state interference in the media. And this is also a reason why I'm not a member of the NUJ. Sinn Féin's manifesto, which was launched yesterday morning, commits to commission an independent human rights and journalist expert review into RTE's objectivity of international conflicts. And I do know, that being said, the motives could be questioned, because I do know there are those very high in Sinn Féin that do not believe that they get a fair crack of the whip on RTE. They're talking about international objectivity. Is it having a pop or a go? I don't know. Irish Daily Star this morning, Vladimir Putin stoked fears he could use nuclear weapons as Ukraine fired its first long-range US missiles into Russia. He had previously vowed to hit back if Western artillery was fired deep into his country, the argument being that these missiles from the United States are so technical that they do actually require US technical expertise to launch and guide them, etc. So he's saying, effectively, by a very close proxy, it is actually the US that is bombing parts of Russia. That's just some of the extra commentary he gave in relation to this. He yesterday released a revised official document approving atomic retribution if the country feels under threat, just days after US President Joe Biden gave Kyiv permission to use Atacam weapons. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean necessarily that he launches, you know, a nuclear missile at London, Paris and Washington. But what it means is that, I don't think it's happened so far before, that Russia obviously has the artillery to They could flatten Ukraine in an instant. But amongst that artillery is tactical nukes, which would have a devastating impact on, obviously, people fighting, but also the general population. So when he talks of, at this point, a nuclear escalation, that's most likely what they're talking about. It may also just be a rhetoric, because they do have 10,000 North Koreans fighting with them as well. US President Volodymyr Zelensky warned European Parliament members in Kyiv yesterday that Putin is not interested in ending the war. He said each new attack by Russia only confirms Putin's true intentions. The civil case against Conor McGregor is coming towards its conclusion, and counsel for a woman who's accused MMA star Conor McGregor of rape has told a jury he is a devious coward. This is The Sun. In his closing speech at the High Court, John Gordon, senior counsel, told jury that the plaintiff, Nikki Hand, will always be a marked woman because she stood up to him. Mr. Gordon said the jury told the jury that Mr. McGregor was an arrogant man who should have apologised to Ms. Hand for what he did, and described his client as a woman of courage who had stood up. But the jury has a lot to consider. There's various different bits of evidence from friends that were there as well. So there's a lot to consider in this. Mr. Gordon said that Mr. McGregor had changed his story during the case, while his client had been consistent in her version of events. And finally, just a health one in the Irish Daily Mirror. A new report on the health of the nation has delivered a damning verdict, revealing half of young adults are in poor condition. A third of them vape or smoke, and two-thirds are overweight or obese. It is the fifth year in a row the annual assessment of Ireland's citizens' health has delivered a verdict of declining fitness. An extra 100,000 adults have fallen into poor health. This is... When you read stories like that, I did read some proposals about VAT increases on attending gyms. We should be doing everything, should we? And I'm not sure who actually proposed that, but we should be doing everything, should we not, to get people into the gym, etc. Okie doke, let's take a quick break. I want to say good morning to Mary Jo. Good morning, Greg. Missing my Highland Radio. Mary Jo, we're here for you on Facebook. Good morning, Greg, from a very cold London. Thanks, Kathy. Cass, is the burst pipe in Greencastle fixed? I'll check that in for you, Cass. Good morning, Greg, listening in Philcara. Thanks, Sarah. Charlie, good morning, Greg. Do you have a phone number I can call to get the outside temperature raised a few degrees, or maybe you can do it yourself? Our powers do not extend that far, Charlie. If you want to watch the show with the hundreds that are watching already across the various platforms, you can go to YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch on your smart TV or your Fire Stick if that suits you through that app. We're on Facebook and on the X platform. Just search Highland Radio anywhere and pretty much you'll find us there. All right, lots coming up, and we'll kick off with our first guest after these. Be careful. The road from Creusa to Termin is extremely dangerous, very slippy, I'm told, and is actually currently blocked by traffic. That's from one listener or another. Traffic is at a standstill from the log cabin in Creusa to Termin. Motorists, please take care. You will be delayed. If there's any other current information on the roads, please get in touch with us because we can pass that on then to others. Right, Brendan Byrne, former mayor of Donegal County Council, joins me on the show now. Brendan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Obviously, you, like I think the majority of people in Donegal, love the politics because we're so embedded in it and it's in us. The TG Cahir poll came out. It's an Ipsos BNA poll, and it makes for interesting reading. You'd have quite a bit of faith, would you, in these polls, reflecting on how they performed in previous elections?
Well, no poll is 100% accurate. That's the first thing. But in terms of the Ipsos TG Cahir poll of 2020 and 2016, there's a high degree of accuracy in regard to some of the projections they made, particularly the Sinn Féin vote. They seem to record that extremely accurately. In 2020, there was an issue around the recording of the vote of Joe McHugh. It was underestimated, and that caused an issue there. But by and large, the accuracy of the poll is quite reasonable compared to some, particularly when you're doing a constituency poll, which is a margin of error usually of 4%.
Now, we'll go into the candidates, but just looking at the big party breakdown, in 2020, Fianna Fáil had actually 20.4% first preferences. In this poll, their popularity, I suppose you could put it like that, is at 25%. Fine Gael, 13.7% in 2020. They're now at 12%. Sinn Féin from 45.1% now down to 35%. Do you believe that sort of reflects the reality, the trends in Donegal, and I suppose nationally, when we look at opinion polls and where various parties are at, they do seem to align?
They do, but I think more particular, there's a very intense campaign going on here in Donegal. As we're all aware, Patrick O'Gallagher is making a bid to come back to Dáil-Éireann, having lost by 200 votes the last time. We also see the redress candidate putting in an effort there to win a seat. He's on 6%. And there is, as you notice, a slight decline in the Sinn Féin vote down to 35%, but they're still sitting with 2.1 quotas, so they're safe for two seats at that. The Fine Gael vote is interesting when you take it in the context of the last opinion poll in 2020, when there was a discrepancy in how that was recorded. In actual fact, Joe McHugh was recorded in 2020 as being at 17%, and he actually polled in and around, 9.8%? So he was out by 7 points. So that was a significant discrepancy. If anything like that were to occur in the Fine Gael vote, then they go from a position, as you look at it now, maybe 0.66 of a quota between the two of them. If there's an increase in that, then they come right into the mix. So I suppose if you look at the opinion poll, the only dead cert I can say is that Sinn Féin are on course to take two seats, and they will have a surplus. They'll probably have 5,000 votes more than what's needed to win two seats. Fianna Fáil are sitting at 1.5 quotas. That's not a cert. That is not a guarantee to win two seats in a...
Just in relation to that, I want to focus on Fianna Fáil, and you can tease that out a little bit more if you like. According to TG Cahir, Charlie McConlogue is doing very well in Ashone, polling well in Ashone. He's at 12% in this opinion poll. In terms of transfers, which he would require, if Pat the Cope Gallagher were to take the first Fianna Fáil seat, for an example, he doesn't necessarily have votes to burn that would assist Charlie McConlogue. Would Fianna Fáil have any concerns, in your opinion, as to how transfer-friendly Charlie McConlogue might be? Does very well in terms of first preference, but where do the votes come from after that?
Well, as I said previously on Highland about 7 months ago, Charlie is a formidable campaigner. And if you look at the 2020 result and the 2020 opinion poll and today's opinion poll, his vote is rock solid at 12%. It's been consistently recorded at 12%. And if you look at some of the secondary analysis of this opinion poll, he's actually polling extremely well in transfers from Fine Gael and some like-minded independents. So there's no doubt in my mind that he will possibly take the third seat ahead of Pat the Cope. And that brings an issue of then, where does Pat the Cope get his transfers? So if there's any degree of discrepancy in the poll, that second Fianna Fáil seat is very much in the mix. And it would be more in line that it would be Pat the Cope Gallagher that would be in jeopardy. Because if you look at the vote of Piers Doherty, and we spoke earlier about Charlie McConnell's vote being rock solid in his own, Piers Doherty is cleaning up West Donegal to such an extent there's probably 5,000 more votes than he needs. And that is impacting on the opportunity for Pat the Cope to get a dead cert seat.
The coin's in the air then as to whether who gets the third seat between Charlie McConlogue and Pat the Cope Gallagher. But let's just assume one of them does. What is the likelihood of a second Fianna Fáil seat? Because this is being read as Fianna Fáil are locked in for two. You've quite rightly pointed out that's simply not the case. And look at Fianna Fáil certainly wouldn't want the public to think that's the case, right? A week and a half out from voting, because they don't want people to be unmotivated to vote. So what is the probability, as things stand now, of a second Fianna Fáil seat in your view?
Well, if you look at the hard core data that we have here, we have Sinn Féin with 2.1 quotas, Fianna Fáil with 1.4, 1.5 quota. It's well short of two quotas for a seat. Fine Gael in and around 0.6 of a quota. But most significant of all, the other candidates have between them 1.2 quotas. There is 28% of the electorate in Donegal going to vote for candidates other than the three Sinn Féin, three Fianna Fáil and two Fine Gael. there is a 1.2 quotas sitting there that will come into play in the third, fourth, fifth, and possibly up to the 10th counts. So in terms of the Fianna Fáil taking the second seat, it very much depends on vote management, and it very much depends if Patrick O'Gallagher can motivate the west of Donegal to better distribute the votes between himself and Pierce Doherty. And then I see and I note that Fianna Fáil has done a redraw of the canvas areas. That will be advantageous to
What is that? Because what I thought quite surprising is that travelling around this part of the world, I'm as likely to see a Pat the Cope Gallagher poster as I am a Charlie McConnellogue poster.
Well, the
I'm a long way from Dunlow.
I'm not privy to the Fianna Fáil.
No, I'm not asking for an insight.
I was for 20 years, yes. But I do note well that they have redrawn the canvas areas, given Kilmacrane and Termin and Trent to Carrigart and Mulroy to Pat, and that's strategically
important. Well, that would explain that then. Okay, that would explain that.
That is strategically important if he's to retain that seat. But in terms of this poll, looking at it objectively, it's all to play for. It's still all to play for Fine Gael. They're sitting with 12%. If there's a miscalculation similar to what was in the 2020 poll in their favour as opposed to their disadvantage the last time, they come back into the mix. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to make predictions when you have 20 candidates, five seats, and a very disparate view of opinion, as I see it, in Donegal,
sure,
on who exactly they're going to give the five seats to.
I would have anticipated John McNulty would be at least 3 or 4 points higher than he actually is, to be honest with you, because, you know, he would be trying to appeal not just to, you know, the Fine Gael voters, but also others. He's very active in the business community, the sporting community and what have you. But anyway,
I think there is a reason for that, and we forgot to mention Thomas Pringle. Thomas Pringle has polled phenomenally well in this opinion poll, sitting at 11%. And I can only surmise from the data that Thomas must be extremely strong in southwest Donegal, and that is impacting on the vote of John McNulty. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at it in single transferable votes, he has Jordan to the east of him, John McNulty to the west of him. He's sitting with 11%. Those will be eliminated if this poll reflects the reality of the day of the count. And he is in a strong, strong position. But we're basing all this on an opinion poll.
Of course. And listeners get that, of course, because we could all end up with egg on our faces. But we just have to go with what's been released. Pádraig McLoughlin, 17.9% first preferences in 2020, just at 11% right now. Obviously, the biggest issue in much of Donegal, but certainly in Inishowen, is defective concrete. Now, Charles Ward's the 100% Redress Party candidate. Now, whilst he is not standing from in Inishowen, right, you would expect him to poll well in that area if they organise that vote correctly. But he's at 6%. With Charlie McConnellogue holding strong on his 12%, can we conclude that Pádraig McLoughlin, although he's safe, with the slip between 2020 and 2024, those wishing to vote for Charles Ward maybe not voting for for Pádraig McLoughlin?
Well, in general elections, local geography trumps a lot. And I'm surmising from the opinion poll that Inishowen is voting for Inishowen. Micah is an issue up there. We all know that and we're sympathetic and we understand the crisis that is Micah. But people, when they go to the ballot box to elect a government or a replacement government, look at things slightly different. And I'm not being cruel when I say that, but my assessment of this opinion poll is that Inishowen is reverting back to the normal way of electing a government or a replacement government between Charlie McConnellogue and Pádraig McLoughlin. Now, Pádraig McLoughlin, in fairness, in 2016 and 2020, his rate in the opinion polls at that time, they have a habit of underestimating Pádraig. And that is because he, no more than the rest, he's a good campaigner. He's out there. He's very good on issues. He leads on issues. He's a champion of issues. So I would expect come polling day that Pádraig's vote will be higher than that 11%. And I would not be one bit surprised if he comes extremely close to the quota. But we're 9 days out from polling. A lot can happen. We could be back on here in 48 hours' time with a whole new dynamic. But at this point in time, I think Pádraig's vote will increase.
It gives everyone a kick up the backside, because certainly you don't want any apathy if you've done really well. So you redouble your efforts to drive home any advantage you might have. But also, if you're not performing as you perhaps would have hoped you should, also you redouble your efforts, right? So that's no one, I don't think, is going to rest on the laurels. With that in mind, and given the subject matter, do you think Charles Ward can pick up from that 6% for 100% redress party to be in the shake-up for the fifth seat, let's presume?
Well, if you do a direct comparison for Charles Ward to that of Thomas Pringle in the 2020 opinion poll, when Thomas Pringle was recorded at, I think it was 6% in that poll, and in actual fact, on polling day, he had 7.2%. If that were to happen, Charles Ward, in this poll, then he's back in the mix. Going back to the point that I said, 28% of the electorate are voting for candidates other than the three main parties. That is 1.2 quotas. There is a lot of votes there to play for in subsequent preferences and transfers. So if there is any degree of underestimating Charles Ward's vote at 6%, similar to what happened in Thomas Pringle's case in 2020, then Charles Ward is right back in the mix. And that is when you look at the others that are in contention, such as Pat the Cope, then it could be a straight battle between Pat the Cope and Charles Ward for the last seat.
A caller says here, it really irritates me when people say mica, defective concrete, is an Inishowen issue. It's a Donegal issue, you fool. I'm going to take the fool on that one. There's a reality.
There's a reality here.
There is a reality here. And I'm from the south of the county, right? And people are acutely aware of defective concrete. And there's even issues with pyrotite in some houses down in that area. And there's no doubt there's a knowledge of it. But unless I'm reading the situation very wrong, and you're a bit further west from me, and you can tell me what the situation is in your backyard, Brendan, it is probably not going to be the top motivating vote. Whether people like that or not, this is why Inishowen's often... we talk about why people might be most motivated to comment on things. Clearly, there's swathes of Milford affected by this as well, the defective concrete, don't get me wrong. But if you go south of the gap, it's almost a different country. In some ways, whether people like it or not, there's been this traditional northwest split in Donegal through the media, through politics, and on issues as well. And down there, I'm sorry to say, it's not going to be probably even the top two reasons people might vote. If I'm wrong on that, I'll put my hand up and admit I'm wrong. No. But Brendan, it feels heartless to say, but what do you feel the situation is?
No, in fairness, you're 100% right. The concentration of the defective blocks is Inishowen, South Inishowen, and then in and around Letterkenny as you head towards Milford. Where I live here in Glen Columkill, it wouldn't make the top 10 issues. And that's not me being cruel or blunt. That's reflecting the reality of what the issues are here in South Donegal. As you then progress eastward towards Donegal Town, it starts to become an issue, but it's still not in the top five. Those are the realities. And it does that reflect in the opinion poll? This is a countywide opinion poll, constituency-wide opinion poll. It does. And that is going to be a challenge for the redress party.
Like if you're knocking on doors in the Gaeltacht, right, low-paid jobs, lack of housing, poor infrastructure, access to education, local transport links, I'm sorry, but that they would probably be on a list of issues above defective concrete. I don't understand it myself per se, right? Well, I do understand it. But that, unfortunately, to that listener is not unfortunately, it's what people think. I'm not here to dictate what people think, but it's the reality.
We have to reflect the realities if we're going to give a judgment on an opinion poll. And the reality is, and I'm not on the doors, but I would expect that the cost of living is number one in everyone's mind on the doorsteps. The basic services, access to basic services, and the cost of constructing houses, the access to education, access to health services, those are the issues.
There's no school dentist in the west of Donegal. That's going to bother a lot of mums and dads
absolutely.
Who are in good houses.
Those are the issues that can come to the fore in a general election. And that's the challenge for redress, that you have a very emotive issue, an issue that's impacting thousands and thousands of people in Donegal, but it's not geographically spread across the entire county. But that's a challenge. But they can overcome that. And I've listened to some of the debates of Charles Ward, and he has a broad dynamic to him. So that is an advantage to him. How to capitalise on that is now the challenge of the next 9 days ahead for them.
But obviously, you know, in Donegal, we've had a reputation as bucking the trend, you know, thinking a little bit differently, the rebel county or whatever way you want to call it, right? Bottom line, though, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil have 37% of the vote. Fianna Fáil doing the heavy lifting there, in fairness. But that still is two government parties sitting with over a third of first preferences. The viable alternatives are Sinn Féin and Thomas Pringle, and the three are established members of Dáil that have been there for a long time. The record's there as opposition, whether you like it or not. But the overwhelming majority of people in Donegal are sticking with what they know. Either Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, give them a chance, or whatever the phraseology might mean. And Thomas Pringle, who's sat in opposition, done a great job, don't get me wrong, but for quite a long time now. Nothing's emerging beyond that. So maybe we aren't as rebellious and and trend-bucking as we might like to think we are.
Well, I would agree with your synopsis. In actual fact, that the outworkings of this opinion poll is that Sinn Féin are on track to take two seats comfortably. Fianna Fáil will take one seat comfortably. And the next two seats are very much in the mix with a strong preference of advantage to Thomas Pringle. And the last seat will be determined, as I see it, between Patrick O'Gallagher and a combination of Fine Gael and Redress, probably ultimately determined on the elimination of a Fine Gael candidate as to who will take that fifth seat. That is what I would extrapolate from this opinion poll. But it's all to play for. There's still 9 days there. And whilst an opinion poll is a snapshot in time, this certainly threw up something that I wouldn't have expected in terms of there is a decrease in Sinn Féin's vote, an increase in Thomas Pringle's vote, probably from the expense of Sinn Féin. Charlie McConnell is rock solid, and it's a strong showing for him. It's the first constituency-wide opinion poll, so he'll take heart from that. His supporters will take heart from that. And likewise, Pat the Cope is in good position, but is needing further support in order to get over the line. Redress have an advantage in the sense that there is still 28% of the vote there that will be in play on the day of the count, and how they capitalise on that between now and polling day will determine their outcome.
Fantastic analysis. Thanks very much, Brendan. Take care of yourself. That is Brendan Byrne there, just running through the figures as we have them. And I mean, listen, we appreciate this is an opinion poll. This is speculation. But that's what you do, isn't it? All right, we'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show, but we do have to take a break. All right, you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Brian Flanagan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
It's Greg here, Brian. Greg, questioning the issues raised so far in the election. What's your view?
Yeah, I mean, the word TD stands for Chacta Dala, you know, a delegate or messenger to the Assembly. So they're supposed to represent what we're most concerned about. And, I mean, the big one that every news button starts off of it is the threat of world war that's emerging there in several places in the world, you know. You don't hear any mention of that. It reminds what I hear going on in the media from the various candidates is more like that YouTube video many people have seen of about 20 monkeys diving into a basket of some sort of parcels of goodies, biscuits or something. You know, you know, we're richer now than we've ever been. I mean, there was a lady from Calcutta there back last Christmas, the nurse at Mother Teresa. She's a died in her arms. But she was shocked, she told me, at the wealth of Ireland in the supermarkets. It's obvious to her, so extraordinarily wealthy we are, you know. And so no matter what you get, you always, there's a shortcoming
but,
or
but
shortfall.
Are you, sorry, you know? Are you saying that this person's observation is that the public are very wealthy?
The Ireland as a whole is very, very wealthy.
No, not the country, but the people. The people. Do you believe the people are wealthy?
Well, obviously, if the supermarkets are are stuffed vastly,
people
with goodies.
We've got record numbers of people accessing food banks. There's a gap. There is certainly a lot of people that are well off, but there's more people that are struggling to make ends meet. They're probably not reflected in the supermarkets. We've got record numbers of people, as I say, accessing the St. Vincent de Paul food banks. There's a crisis in food banks in Donegal. There's a very high rate of poverty and absolute poverty in this county, Brian.
Yeah, it's all over the country. And you've got a lot of psychological dysfunction. There's nobody to care for a lot of children who have mental disorders, and it seems to be getting worse at a rate of knots. Things to do with the various games that they play on the internet seems to have something to do with it. But we don't hear anything about these central concerns. For instance, there, I've been at various meetings there recently about what's going on in the schools. This doesn't cost anything for a government to take a hand at. The sex education, daft things like transgenderism and so on, you know, they're pushing kids into areas that are totally against the wishes of their parents. And the various TDs are not saying a word about it that I've heard anyway.
But are the parents saying stuff about it? I mean, like, I understand where you're coming from, but there seems to be two camps on this. You've got a group of individuals who believe that there is some sort of indoctrination going on. What's happening in schools, there's some sort of very murky reason behind that. And then you've got the majority of parents that I engage with on this program and out and about, and the government stating, no, that's actually not the case. That's not what we're teaching children in schools. Any teacher has ever said to me they've any concern about what's being taught in the school, ever. Not one single teacher, except actually that there was an over-focus on well-being and there should be more focus on core subjects rather than well-being. Other than that, I would love to speak to a teacher who shares your concerns, but all I hear is third parties concerned about it, not the parents, not the kids, and not the teachers. It confuses me, Brian.
You must be the only person in Donegal hasn't seen the recent revelations of whistleblower.
No, I saw that, but that was trained. But that's what she was being. That was stuff she was exposed to in UCD in a class for teachers. That's not what's being taught to children, Brian.
Indeed it is, and you can see the books. Okay. The books are on the internet there that you can.
I've seen them. I've gone through them. I've gone through them.
Sorry?
But I have gone through them. So you believe that if there's a debate, that these are the matters that politicians should be discussing and debating.
We should be talking about the threat of world war. A lot of weapons are transported through Shannon to these various conflicts. Ireland should be taking a stand. It's a tiny little country, but we had a reputation up to 50 years ago we were well respected across the world as peacekeepers. And that has been frittered away by politicians, more like surfboard riders riding the next wave. They don't represent the real concerns of the people, as far as I can see. Take, for instance, that lad that's in jail now for 3 years, or the third year anyway, Enoch Burke, for simply refusing to teach that there's any more than two sexes in the world.
That's not why I don't want to go through this again, because I end up being accused of being a lefty, a woke. He's opposed to transgenderism, but that's not why he's in jail. That's not why he's in jail.
Why is he in jail?
He's in jail because he refused to comply with a court order to stay away from the school.
A law which is unjust is not a law, and that's the biggest authority in the world ever wrote. That's Thomas Aquinas. A law that is not just is not a law, and he has every right to oppose it.
Do you not think he'd be better served out of prison, using his platforms to actually oppose it, rather than sitting and eating prison food and watching Sky Sports?
I've never spoken to the man. He's a brave man. Anyway, it reminds me more like Páraic Pearce and the people of 1916 than any of our TDs at the moment. I'll tell you, it's a disgrace what's happened. We're ashamed in front of the world.
Yet over two-thirds of the people, according to the poll, over two-thirds of the people are going for the established parties and the established independent. There are independents that would perhaps align themselves to your views, Brian, and they're just not getting traction in the polls.
Yeah, but you know, the people have to be mobilized and there's got to be meetings about these things. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time for people to shape up. The media have a role to play here. And I thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak there. There needs to be more of this kind of thing, you know, okay. where people can voice their views far better than I can, you know.
No, you did all right, Brian. Listen, thank you very much. I do have to take a break.